Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher and a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so in this podcast, we look at that intersection between creativity and teaching. Today, we're going to talk about this idea of a mid-year reboot. So it's the beginning of the year, and all around I'm hearing all these conversations about New Year's resolutions. One friend is going paleo, another is doing CrossFit, and still another has decided she's going to read 100 books in a year, which might be doable if you include things like graphic novels and audiobooks and picture books, which I think are totally valid. Now, this is a time for fresh starts. The darkest days of winter are already over, even if it's a brutal 36 degrees here in Salem, Oregon. Feel free to mock me if you live in the Midwest or Canada or some cold, icy wasteland like that. But the idea is that it's a time for fresh starts. But the teacher calendar is a little different. For most of us, January is kind of a mid-year point. Sometimes it's even literally the start of a new semester, right there in the middle. We're halfway through the marathon of teaching. And even after winter break, you're likely pretty tired. Okay, not pretty tired. You're really tired. For all the peppy feel-good memes on social media about teachers being excited to jump back into teaching and telling us that we shouldn't look forward to the winter break, the reality is that you're probably feeling a little haggard right now. This job can be physically, mentally, and emotionally draining even when you love it. In fact, I would say especially when you love your job. And yet, it's also a chance to do a mid-year reboot. Now, here's what I mean by a mid-year reboot. It's a chance to take a creative risk. Some of the most innovative current classroom teachers I know use the mid-year point as this opportunity to try something different, to spark creativity and bring a revived energy to that halfway point. It's a chance to do something that you've never done before, or it's a chance to refine something that you've already done. And that's what I mean by this mid-year reboot. So here are 7 ways to transform your practice in the mid-year. Now, when I taught middle school, I would always focus on one specific area. And so even though I'm sharing a lot of different ideas here, I would always choose just one. And it's a tradition that I've continued even at the university level. Every single mid-year point, I try to pilot something new or change something I've already been doing. Now, here are a few, ways that you could transform your practice mid-year. Number one, to revisit your classroom procedures. So consider how you might streamline your procedures, use elements of UX design. There's an old blog post, not that old, couple months old blog post on UX design that you might want to check out if you're interested in that. But it's the idea of designing things with the user in mind, designing things to be more logical and intuitive in your classroom. You might even have students meet together as a class and rewrite the classroom norms, create a new procedure chart, and again, just let them come up with the big ideas of how your classroom is going to run. It can be kind of a moment where you empower your students to own more of the classroom, where you've basically said, it's halfway through, you know the rules, you know how things are going, I'm going to give you more freedom and more ownership in your space. Number two is to redesign the classroom space. It might be a chance to change up the seating in your classroom, you might want to do some redecorating. It's a chance to get student volunteers to help with the process. I remember specifically asking for some of the more high-energy, high-energy students who are kind of chatty, for lack of a better term. And I would ask them to come in before school or after school, not a punishment, but I would just say, hey, would you help me redesign the classroom space? And it was amazing how they brought this fun energy before and after school to redesigning the space. And in the process, I would get a chance to build a deeper relationship with them. And sometimes that was what I needed. And I mention this because sometimes, you know, that half year point, A student who drives you crazy a little bit really drives you crazy, and you need to see the good in that student. And so for me, that mid-year point would be an opportunity to bring them on board, get to know them even better, and build a deeper relationship with them. All right, number three, try a new project. It could be a Maker Monday challenge. It could be a Wonder Day project. You could do something like the Tiny House project. You could do a Genius Hour project. But it's a chance to basically pilot one new project. So that's number three. You could try piloting a new project. Number four, do a team building exercise. I know, we tend to think of team building as something you do at the start of the year. But sometimes students... Sometimes in a classroom culture, you have some bad relationships that have developed, some bad interactions. There's some healing that needs to happen. And a team building can be this sort of reboot that allows your whole class to become a more cohesive group yet again. Sometimes it's that you're going to be starting a new project where they're really going to have to work more interdependently. And so doing a team building brings them even closer together, which will help them with the collaboration. So the idea is that you could do some kind of a team building activity some moment during that first week back from a break. And I would actually do it on a Thursday or a Friday of the first week. So they're back into the habit of school. They don't expect it. And suddenly you say, we're doing something different. We're doing a team building this Thursday. Number five is to pilot student self-assessment and peer assessments. I have a whole suite of assessments in the Design Thinking Toolkit if you're interested. But it's the idea of having students do self-assessments, doing things like surveys, self-reflection, concept maps, those types of self-assessments, along with peer assessments. We use a modified version of... the critical friends process in my class. It's something I used back when I taught middle school as well. And it's a 10-minute per person activity. So I call it the 20-minute system. And it's a great way to give peer feedback where they own the entire process. So this is a chance, again, to really boost that self-assessment and peer assessment. And then in the process, it actually frees up a little more time for you as the teacher. Number six, try goal setting with your students. I love having students set goals for themselves. And again, it helps improve the ownership as they engage in creative projects. It helps them to set deadlines and think about their progress. They monitor their own progress. Number six is to have them set their own goals. And then number seven is to find a creative way to affirm your students. And I think this is really vital. It's not just praising behavior. It's actually affirming who they are, finding their talents and saying, you know what, I appreciate that about you, or I have noticed this about you. When I taught middle school, I used to make it a goal to try to send home one positive note for every student at least every 2 weeks. Now, I had a bank of positive phrases and this template that I used. And it was in Spanish and English because we had a lot of parents who spoke Spanish. And then I would copy and paste the key ideas. However, I then added a specific example that I observed. So I went with kind of this set of positive phrases, but then I would make it something more specific by saying, I noticed blank and I appreciate that. I first began this at the midway point in my first year of teaching. So this is something I was doing a long time ago. And I stole the idea from this teacher, Ms. Jackson. And she was doing this on a regular basis. And it really had this profound effect in terms of both preventing misbehavior in the class, but also creating a really positive, affirming classroom culture. And when I first implemented this in my own class, students were kind of cautious. They didn't like it initially. Again, they were eighth graders, and it could feel embarrassing. However, over time, they grew to love these positive notes. Parents and guardians would show up to our parent-teacher conferences and they would have the positive note with them. They would actually point it out, and it was really cool to see them knowing that I cared about their students, because I had actually articulated what I saw, the good that I saw in every student. Meanwhile, it changed my perspective as a teacher. I began to look for the positive rather than looking for the negative. Now, it wasn't always perfect. I still had bad moments. I want to be very clear, bad moments as a teacher where I like snapped at a class, I got upset, times where I found myself slipping into a deficit mindset. But really, these positive notes, they changed my perspective because they helped me to see the good in my students. The bottom line is this. The mid-year point can be a fresh start. It's a chance to pilot something new and transform your practice. It's your opportunity to take a creative risk and to do something different. So go for it. Use this moment as a chance to innovate in your own space. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.